Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and this week we're going to talk about something spooky. This week I interview Greg Taylor, who is a banker by day and a local historian by night. He is the man behind the Ghost Walk of Guelph, and just in time for Halloween, I got the chance to sit down with him and talk about his love of history and how he used local folklore and ghosts as a way to get people into the, shall we say, spirit of learning more about Guelph's dynamic and fascinating 180 some odd year history. Now, don't call him a ghost hunter. He has made it very clear in our conversation, which you'll listen to in a bit. He's just a guy who likes good stories and local history, and it seems that from his success, there turns out to be a great many people in the Royal City that like those things too. So I talked to Greg about his research, his experiences with the walk, how he discovered the spookier side of Guelph, and if, in fact, he's ever seen a ghost for himself. But I won't ruin the surprise. Let's go right to the interview I caught up with Greg at the Williams Cafe on Stone Road, right here in Guelph. So, Greg Taylor, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How did you become interested in ghosts?
Where do you start? I guess, I think my parents always liked that stuff. Not specifically my mom. Like, she always watched, like, horror movies and stuff like that. And as an aside here, I'm not a horror movie fan at all. what surprises everybody I tell on the walks, but they just get in my head and they freak me out and I can't handle it. But I think it's interesting, ghost stories in general. I mean, you know, I think, you know, they're an excellent way to find out about, you know, where you are, small town. And they're everywhere. Not, you know, you don't have to look very hard or very far to find ghost stories, you know, throughout North America and the world. It's a common element. You know?
It's almost a doorway to history.
Yeah, and it's a thread. It's like a common experience, you know, that binds a lot of people, like by everybody. So yeah, it definitely a doorway to history for sure.
Well, in terms of specifically Guelph ghosts, you came here for university, is that correct? And kind of hung around?
No, I went to the University of Ottawa.
Oh yeah.
I went to the University of Ottawa, studied history there, got my degree in history from the University of Ottawa, and like many people who might get their history degree, it's like, what now, right? My actual regular jobs, I work at a bank pretty much full time. But I like keeping that side of my head going, you know, my history research kind of RV side of my head going. But it's odd because with a history degree, what do? And this fed to it perfectly and very unexpectedly. You know, it gives me a chance to research stuff. It gives me a chance to talk to people. You know, that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, I think some people perhaps hear the what you do at Guelph Ghost Walk and wonder how one begins finding Guelph ghosts. I did read an article where you were interviewed by the Mercury. You said you are not a ghost hunter.
No.
That is something you are not interested in at all.
No. It's so interesting, right? Because the different facets, right? People are right into it. People, like, the shows are popular for a reason. Like, and as a side note here, actually, I did a private ghost walk for a group of teenage, like, high school girls on a birthday party sleepover kind of thing, right? And one of them brought a detector, an EMF detector, right? And I said, oh, yeah, by all means, you know, whenever you guys each stop, check it out. And sure enough, at one of the stops, it lit up like a Christmas tree. which everyone was like, but no, I'm not a ghost hunter. You know, I'm not a psychic. I don't, you know, and I'm getting to the wasp, but I don't, no one jumps out at you. I haven't planned anything or rigged anything kind of hokey. I think it's just a cool way to, you know, find out a little bit about Guelph specifically. You know, it's very accessible. You know, you could walk around and tell people about the armory and people train there, and that's nice and good, but, you know, you have to make it. You have to bring life into it.
It has to be a hunk.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I don't even like that word very much because it's not to say anything, right? But it's just, it demeans it, right? It's like giving out a free, buy one, get a free coupon. It's just making it more alive, giving it some life. So, yeah, no, it ends with me being a history student and liking it.
In terms of the research you've done and the investigations, I guess researching.
Investigations. Okay.
Well, ahead, we were talking about ghost hunting, but I mean, there is a certain amount of investigation.
Totally.
I take it. So, is there a common theme to Guelph ghosts? Because, you know, some places it's like you notice a lot of pioneer era people, or if you go to some place like Washington, D.C., all the ghosts are politically oriented. Is there something like that to Guelph ghosts?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't think so necessarily. I guess the most common, if you want to look for a common thread, and it's not exactly right, is there's a lot of sightings that I found of military ghosts, like ghosts dressed in military uniform, right? You know, certainly stretched from the armory, but it goes beyond. Like, people have reported seeing ghosts on the university dressed in military uniform in different buildings throughout campus. So I guess that if you want to look for a thread that way, maybe a little bit, but by no means. You know, it's really pretty much a catch-all, you know, for the most part. There's nothing that really binds it. And in each place is interesting into itself.
Mm-hmm. In terms of how your tour, you've done it for several years now.
Yeah, crazy.
How has that changed over the years in terms of... maybe your style or different stories you've added to the tour.
Well, first of all, I started it out of nothingness. Like, I just thought it'd be fun one Valentine's Day weekend, and then, you know, just to say, you know, I did this research and thought, well, you know, maybe someone would like to come out, you know, and hear a little bit about it. Not, I mean, and a lot of people say the term, oh, beyond my wildest dreams and stuff, but truly. This is more than I've expected that would ever happen.
Right.
Change, I mean, sure, there's more comfort, you know. I have not given a tour, I'm not a drama student, I've never given a walk before. I started 2 years ago. And it's just more, as time goes on, there's comfort with each stop, obviously. But it's more also, it grows. Like, on this walk, people are so eager to share their experiences, share their stories, and that's to me, in a lot of ways, the best part of it. Like, it's just because I incorporate stories from people who have been on my walks, who have shared and said, "Please share," and it grows that way, and it's a safe environment too. Like, you know, everyone's like-minded. You know, everyone's out to have a good time and explore this side, and you know. In another social situation, you might be hesitant to say, "Hey, I saw something in my house," but you know what I mean. But on a walk like this, people are so eager to share, and I love it. That's a huge part of it. So if you're looking for development, I guess that's probably the best way to describe it. And on top of that, very unexpected expansion. Like, so I started off with a few base stories, and I've grown and added as I've gone with people telling me these stories. One in this, I'm going all over the place, but
that's all right.
In July, so I run the walk once or twice a month, right? So one night in July, I'm at a stop and I'm telling a story that I've told a bunch of times on Norfolk, and this guy who lives in a house right across from where I'm telling the story, I'm with my lantern and stuff, he comes out of his house, seriously, he comes out of his house and waits till I'm finished. I'm kind of looking at him going, "Hey, what's, you know, what's going on?" Because you're in Guelph and anything can happen. So, I could tell you some of that stuff too. But he comes to the group and when I finish talking, he says, "Do you mind very much if I tell you what's going on in my house?" And I said, "You have the floor, go ahead," right? and it's true. And he's telling me this stuff, he's telling me a story which I also now have incorporated in my walk. It just came out in July. And it's in that way, it's very, it expands in unexpected ways. And on top of that, the university as well. How'd you get that stuff?
He was waiting for you, that guy.
He told me, he said, "Look, I've seen you go by a bunch of times and thought, I'm not going to go out, you know, I'm just going to leave you. But one night he decided to, and I'm awesome for it. You know?
The tour always the same? I mean, this is an exceptional circumstance. Someone sort of like, you know, catches you in the middle. But
yeah.
if someone takes the tour on Friday, are they going to get the exact same tour if they come out Saturday, or does it?
It depends. Okay, so I run on the downtown. Like, I will mix and match stories here and there, but the big ones you're going to hear the same. Okay, because they're too good to miss. No matter, because you can't assume, right? Over the years, I had return people like on my walks, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I will add mix and match a little bit here, but the base of it, the spine of the walk, is probably at least the same.
Mm-hmm.
Each time, with variations of probably maybe one or two or three stories depending on how the night goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I also go on campus, like the University of Guelph campus, for an entirely different walk every Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
In support of United Way. So, and that was crazy too. The university, like, so I started this, let me know when I'm talking too much. I started this walk out of nothingness in 2013,
mm-hmm.
February, and it's like, okay, fine, it's a good, like, whatever, it fulfills that side of my brain. And the university emails me in September that year, September 2013, to say, would you mind looking into campus and maybe running something here? And I thought, well, first of all, I was shocked because it's university. And then, not to disparage the university or anything, but it's like, from my experience, universities in general, there's a lot of red tape to go through.
Yeah.
You know? But they reached out to me, and I said, okay, sure, let me research, and some stuff came up. And I was doing a walk the next month on campus, and I'm running again this weekend.
How do you do that kind of research? It's not, I know, I, you know, if some place like Guelph strikes you as somewhere where there isn't a wealth of perhaps that kind of urban legendary.
Yes. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me. No. Urban legendary. What do you mean?
Well, just in terms of a lot, you know, I doubt there's a whole section of the library where there's Guelph ghosts.
Yeah, no. Right. There is not. No.
Yeah. So how do you do your research?
But that scratches the surface a little bit, though,
yeah.
Because there are books, and I have visited the Guelph Library in preparing for the walks, and there are no specific Guelph ghosts book,
mm-hmm.
There are books on Canada,
yeah,
and North America, supernatural encounters, and interviews in these books with people who have had these encounters, one or two of which found its way to Wellington County.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But again, there's also the online research I've done, and also, but interviews, again, coming out of the walk, but people are anxious to share. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of it comes from that as well. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just different sources. So it's, but books, and also the Guelph Public Library, books for sure, but I went through old newspaper clippings. Like I walked in one day and said, can you give me everything you've got going back to whenever on ghosts, supernaturals, hauntings, that kind of stuff? They come back with three files with all these yellow newspaper clippings. And here you go. So,
wow.
So they're the guard, they're the custodians, like in a lot of ways, the Guelph Public Library, the custodians of our history.
Is it surprising that there are so many Guelph ghost stories in Guelph?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it was. And crazy ones. Like, where do I start? They keep going. The biggest is the Albion.
Right.
The biggest and hands down my favorite spot is the Albion. Because...
And for people who don't know, it's the legend that Al Capone had a girlfriend in the Albion, yes. When he would come and pick up Sleeman beer.
Yes, yes, and move it. And his mom apparently lived in Ottawa, too, so he would travel on foot a bit. Yes, the sightings, the hauntings coming from the Albion, and their sweethearts, too. Like when you go, like, their waitresses and stuff that are there are anxious to share.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll, you know, I went in there 6 months ago and said, hey, is there anything, can you tell me, right? Not necessarily saying who I am, right? And they said, oh, yeah, this... She said, this happened to me a month ago. I this woman seemed like she was lost walking through the Albion. And I said, ma'am, and the woman, no response, right? So the waitress said, you know, what's up, right? So she sees that the woman goes upstairs. Ma'am, you can't go up there, it's closed off. It's right now, ma'am. Woman keeps going, oblivious to the waitress.
Yeah.
Waitress just follows right behind her, like 20 feet behind her. She gets up to the second floor, no one is there.
Oh.
You know? And it's that stuff, right? Like, you know, it's so I'd encourage you, if you go to the Albion, ask. Everyone's got a story, and they're usually pretty good.
Is that perhaps your favorite, is the Albion?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. It's just because it's very, you know, Capone, and did he kill the mistress? Did he not kill the mistress? Beer underground with the tunnels. One of them apparently went to the manor. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah. And it's something Sleeman's itself is playing up on now in their advertising.
Yeah, they've leveraged it, which is kind of interesting. I think I don't know how I feel about that. He made all this money moving beer, but Al Capone did a lot of other darker stuff that we don't hear about in the commercials, you know. Well, I think that sells beer, though.
He did run soup kitchens too during the Depression.
Yeah, well, it's. You know,
he's the king of Chicago for a reason.
I guess you gotta weigh it.
perhaps without giving any away, because I know you do make money from the walk, and it's sort of a livelihood. But you know, without giving anything away,
go ahead.
What are some of the highlights that you want to draw people to?
Highlights. So what do you mean? Like the stops or something like that?
Not necessarily.
Campus or here?
Yeah, or well, either or.
Yeah. So I mean, I think if you truly, like we've touched on it, but I think if you live in Guelph and you don't know the history of the Albion Hotel, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Mm-hmm. It's much more than you think. And you know, a lot of the, and that's the key to the walk is a lot of just saying, all right, you go by all these buildings in town every day, like, you know, if you even make it downtown, like, you know, if you make even make it from the south end to downtown, but assuming you even do that,
yeah,
you know, you know people, you know, drive by the Armory all the time, walk by the Armory all the time and take no notice of it, you know. It's an opportunity to stop and say, look at this, you know, this is what's happened here, but look at it, you know, it's crazy. The courthouse, you know,
right.
Stop, take a look at it, you know. Hangings took place here, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's some official, some not official. And, you know, it's, you know, also a stop, right? But also not to be missed stop on the walk. But the highlight, I guess, for me, for sure, is here, is the Albion. Like, it's by far my favorite. It's by far the one I spend the most time in. But you know, there are other spots around town, Baker Street, parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, Guelph is sort of a weird place in the downtown area. You're talking about a lot of paved over history, literally paved over history, especially in that Baker Street area, which was a, you know, you go down there, it's a parking lot, there's all these, you know, buildings. You know, it's all concrete now, but it was once a graveyard.
Yes, absolutely, you know. And it makes sense when you look at it. If you're in the middle of Baker Street parking lot, and I usually say, not to give too much away on my walk, but it's, no, but I usually say, have a look around.
Yeah.
You know, just stop and have a look around. What I usually say, what's unusual about the Baker Street parking lot? And if you know, if you have anything, just shout it out. I stop for a minute or two, and it gives people a chance to look around. But sure enough, you know, if you look closely, churches. There's one there.
Yeah.
And two more in proximity. What's next to churches, you know? Cemeteries. Yeah. But yeah, it paved over history for sure. You know, not only in Baker Street, but you know, behind Basilica of Our Lady now. Like, it's also the back parking lot there. You know, it was once an old cemetery.
Really?
I know, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Well, I knew about Baker Street today. I had written because when I was at the Ontarian down at the university, it was during one of the rare occasions they find remains under the street. So I did was wearing that one.
Yeah, sinkholes, right? When they fix sinkholes.
Sinkholes, yeah. Every time one appears.
I know, it's crazy, right? It's crazy, man.
To revisit the Armory, that is where your walk does begin.
Yes.
And you were talking a lot about military.
The walk train station, but.
Well, the train station, but yeah. That's kind of the first stop.
Yeah, sure.
Why did you choose the train station? Why is that your entry point?
I think it's really, first of all, I think train stations are just amazing. They're so cool. I think they're so understated.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just there's something romantic about it for sure. But if you have a look at train stations in, again, like I said, you know, have a look at stuff around. That's mm-hmm. part of the walk is. But train stations, like, especially in smaller town Ontario, like, they're just fantastic. Like, they're, you know, not a lot. We're usually right in the middle of downtown. Usually not a lot done to them, you know. So they're, like, they're old, sturdy buildings that give the downtown a lot of character. You know, I think and each one is different, whether you go to, you know, Cobourg or Kingston Cobourg, Trenton, you know, smaller town Ontario, like these train stations are just very understated. You know, and I think there's appeal there. You know? It's more of a romantic part, and also yeah.
A lot of old horror movies start at somebody arriving somewhere new, usually on a train.
Yeah, right. Like in the absolutely. Like in the UK, on this foggy night train station stuff, it gets you in the mood for sure. Right? Yeah.
Is there something you can never, like perhaps something you've learned that you can't talk about on the tour? Because you know maybe it happened in you know the West End or the South End. It's not somewhere you can walk past that you hear about that you can never incorporate because it's an hour's walk to the next.
Oh stop. Yeah, no, exactly, and that's part of it. Is there's only so much time, and you know you start losing people after a while too. Like if you make it too long, like yeah. There are haunted ghost walks around, and I went to one in Ottawa, and they just get to be too long. Like there's one I went on, I think it was Ottawa, where it was an hour and 45 minutes. Winter, it's a lot to ask of people, right? My walks, you know, right around an hour. Like sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but usually right around the route, depending on how big the group is.
Mm-hmm.
But so. Where was I going? Oh, the stories outside of the downtown core.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can tell you one. There's one apparently, and I don't know if it's still there. It was it's Woolwich and Speedvale area, if I'm not mistaken. There's like a plaza. A plaza, right, with a bank and other grocery store and stuff. But apparently one of these stores was a tanning salon called the Venice Beach Tanning Salon. I don't mm-hmm. think, it may not be there still, but it was a tanning salon. However, once upon a time, it was a bank. It was a bank. And the owners of the tanning salon found that every day, like clockwork, at 3 o'clock, the doors would lock by themselves in the tanning salon.
Really?
Almost as if some bank employee is still locking up in an old school 3 o'clock bank time, which is when banks would close, right?
Right.
So they would actually have to, tape open the lock, so it wouldn't, like, we'd put duct tape over the lock, so it wouldn't lock at 3 o'clock. It got to be so regular, yeah. So which is kind of weird to me. Yeah. Plus, you know, and sightings in the tanning salon at the time as well.
Wow, that's a good one.
Have you but too far to walk to. Yeah. Much too far.
Have you ever seen or felt a ghost yourself?
I get this question pretty much every walk, which is good, right?
So yeah, yeah.
I'll start by saying sort of, which is no answer. But I've also had people, I'll tell you my story in a second, but on my walk I've actually had people who, like they tell me that they have a sixth sense kind of thing, right?
Right.
And, you know, truthfully, above board, I'm on a fence on all of this. I think it's too, like, there's too much of it around for there to be nothing to it in terms of ghost stories and sightings and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, until I see, which I'm not sure I want to based on my horror movie, but, you know, like, I don't know, would you? yeah, I'll ask you that in a second. but I've had people on my walk with the sixth sense thing who have actually, you know, I'm telling a story and they've stared past me, and I think they're just bored or something. And then, they tell me later, you know, I saw something in the window behind where you are. And so there's that, right? Not to say, but there's that. People who will, whether it's projecting or whether actually seeing something in these locations. But for me, getting back to me personally, I can say no, except sort of. One night, it wasn't even here. My wife and I were in Europe traveling, and we were staying in this old hotel in Paris, like this boutique type kind of hotel in Paris near the opera area.
Right.
Very small, very old. So anyway, so everything's fine one night, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and she's still sleeping, and I'm just kind of looking around, and I look down towards the end of the bed, and the bed does one of these, like someone had sat right down on it, and the bed actually moved at the bottom of the bed, and there was actually an imprint in the blanket as if someone's butt had just sat down on it, and it actually physically moved. And I just said, well, I don't want any of this. Well, it's true. Because, man, once you start seeing that, you don't know where it escalates, right? So I said, I don't want any of this. So I closed my eyes and rolled over. And sure enough, I fell asleep later. But that's the closest I've got, very specifically, right? Just, yeah. I felt it. And then I tell my wife, and of course she doesn't believe me. But that's the closest I've come. But I will tell you, people have told me stories on my walk that have given me goosebumps, like it's just, and they tell it with such, you know, I always believe them all the time, because you can get a sense when people are just messing with you.
They've
told me stuff that's happened to them that I can't comprehend. Mm. Like, you know, actual sightings of apparitions and crazy. Now let me ask you, have you had any encounters with any ghosts or spirits or anything like that?
I can't think of anything myself.
Really?
Nothing? No.
Door slamming by itself? Nothing?
Well, I mean, there are
colds?
Times.
Well, the cold.
You know, there are times you hear creaks, or you know, the wind catches the door and the door slams, and you know.
Is it the wind? I don't know what it is.
I guess I'm skeptical by nature. I mean, I'm a reporter, so.
Of course.
But I do have family members, my close family. My mother could have swore that her mom was in our old house at times. You know, the smell of her perfume on odd occasions. And my sister worked in an office where she said she could have swore there was a ghost in there. It was in an old house. It was an office converted into an old house.
Here in town?
Yeah, down on Woolwich, actually.
Oh, tons of them, yeah.
Yeah, and her office was always cold, no matter how hot it was outside. Her window was facing the west sun,
yes.
Westward sun, in the middle of the afternoon. In the summer, it'd still be cold.
Yes.
So she could have swore there was a ghost in there with her at times.
Yeah, and you know, but these old houses turn into buildings, like office buildings. I did a private walk for people at a law office downtown who swear that it's haunted, you know? Like, they've seen stuff, this old woman in a black dress. Like, yeah, I know, it's... I think there's too much of it for there to be nothing to it, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. Perhaps to wrap up, when people sign up to go on your walk, what is it that you think that the promise is for them in terms of going on your walk, and what do you think they walk away with after it's over?
The promise is, having fun. The promise is having a good night out. The promise is not getting off the couch. you know what, look, seriously, the promise is maybe hearing a little bit about the town that you live in that you didn't know before in a fun kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't guarantee you will see a ghost on my walk, you know, at all. Although there's a couple spots where I always say, you know, keep an eye out, right? Like the third floor of the Albion, for example, like there's nothing up there except storage, so I always...
Right.
And then, it's a good time. It's to come out, just maybe, you know, no better way, I think, to spend Halloween. Mm-hmm. I think it's an awesome way to spend it. Just appreciate a little bit of Guelph's history in a fun kind of way with some like-minded people, and stretch your legs out on a nice fall day, whether it's downtown for sure or on campus.
And if people want to sign up for a walk or learn more, where can they find you?
My very crappy one-page website is ghostwalkofguelph.com. If you want to have any questions about it, just email me, ghostwalkofguelph@yahoo.ca. Either one of those works just fine. I'm also on Twitter, @ghauntedwalk. But I can't use Haunted Walk officially, I'll tell you on this podcast, because on my hat you'll see Haunted Walk and Guelph. But I was told, shortly after I started this, I got an email from Haunted Walk, which is Ottawa and Kingston in Toronto, right? It's a company. And the owner told me I got to stop using that name, otherwise, you know,
is it a franchise?
Yeah, apparently he's trademarked the name. My Twitter is changed. my actual Twitter handle is still at G Haunted Walk, but it's Ghost Walk as well. So it's Ghost Walk as well for all sorts of purposes. But you know, Twitter at that handle, I usually put out some updates when I can, or the website or the email. Either way, but in any event, no matter what, happy Halloween.
Well, thank you, Greg, and happy Halloween to you.
Thank you very much.
And once again, that was Greg Taylor of the Ghost Walk of Guelph. He has tours in the evening coming up this weekend, so just go to ghostwalkofguelph.com for more information. As for the Guelph Politicast, that's all for this week. The theme music for the show is provided by The Crazy Pills and their song Break It Down, which is available at Free Music Archive. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can also get in touch with me via email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com, or you can reach me through my Twitter feed, also at adamadonaldson. For all the latest political news, you can check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.com, where we will also have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, we'll see you next time.